How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, December 27th, 2019. Happy birthday, Mr. Kelly. I am here today as your host, Kelly Gamont. I am here with two awesome panelists. I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Welcome to KTMO and the cool, soothing sounds of your morning ride of information and tips. By which I mean, it's good to be here, Kelly. Thanks for having us.
I didn't realize we had a format change. Apparently, we're smooth jazz now. And also, cool stuff you can do with your phone. With me doing weather and traffic, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, I just found this out last second, but happy birthday, Mr. Kelly.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that it's Mr. Kelly's birthday. Happy birthday, dude.
Word on the street. All right, so first I want to start. Yesterday we did some picks as far as some good apps to install on some of your devices to help you be more productive, generally happier, that kind of thing. And today we're going to talk about an article that Andrew found about apps that you should maybe take off your devices in order to be happier and healthier and more productive.
Yeah, so this is Michael Grothaus over at Fast Company writing about this. And like Kelly said, most of this end of the year type stuff is our favorite apps of the year. New apps to install if you have a new device, but what about deleting apps? And a lot of the apps he writes about are social media apps, because he has these categories like maybe you should delete apps that depress you, because heavy social media use is now linked to depression and anxiety. So maybe delete Facebook and Instagram, maybe Snapchat or TikTok. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Facebook, the next one is apps that don't protect your privacy.
Now, this was music to our ears, of course, because this is a thing that we tell people all the time. Quit using that app because whatever.
Yeah. So in this category, he lists Facebook Messenger, but also Google's Chrome browser, because Google harvests a lot of your data as well.
And interestingly, this was a thing I had not realized until I read this article and then read, like, I think this article links out to something else about Chrome. And it sort of forces people to sign in as of earlier this year. So like if you have a Gmail account, like you're quietly signed in and syncing all of that stuff, and all of that information is being tied to whatever Gmail address it is that you're using. So that was fantastic. And basically finding out that there's more than one organization that views Chrome as spyware means my big project this weekend is switching to Firefox. So yeah. This is going to be great. And maybe you'll hear more about that here. But yeah, definitely apps that aren't valuing your privacy, as we talk about here a lot, are definitely things that should go.
Mm-hmm. And then there are a couple more categories, but the final one I want to mention is apps that compel you to spend money. And most of the apps in this category are games with in-app purchases. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, we have an alternative to that, Apple Arcade. You do have to pay a subscription, but the games are high quality. They don't have ads, and I'm sure they respect your privacy.
They would have to, because I think they team up with Apple on releasing at least some of those that are exclusive to Apple Arcade. I'm sure Apple is instituting some sort of privacy controls and things in those as well. So
they also don't have in-app purchases.
Right, and there's no in-app purchase in anything in Arcade. So
yeah.
For people who are into that, that's great. Brian, I think you still use Apple Arcade, right?
I still have it. I'm paying for it. I have been so unbelievably busy for the last 2 months that I don't think I haven't played a single game, but it's not through lack of want.
Right.
In any way whatsoever. It's all about time for me right now.
And Andrew and I are both, took a good look and went, like, I'm going to cancel it. I wasn't getting the mileage out of it that I wanted to, and did not anticipate that changing. So I did cancel mine.
I have been gaming a bit more lately, but See, my problem is that I'm a binge gamer, so I'll be obsessed with a game and play it nonstop for about a month or two, and then at some point I'll just put it down and not play it again for many more months, and a subscription service isn't really conducive to that, I think.
No, unless that's where you find the next game that you're obsessing over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, really, though, I mean, like, even if you're just binging a game a month...
Yeah.
You know, it costing a flat $5 is probably cheaper than a lot of other games that people might binge for a month.
For sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Obviously, you know, it depends on the game, and obviously it depends on your spending habits, and it depends on whether or not you're willing to do a pay-to-play thing. But the fact that all of the arcade games are not pay-to-play, pay-to-win, they're not even pay-to-boost or pay-to-get-a-leg-up, the game is there. It's what you get. And that, to me, is something worth supporting. And it's something that certainly appeals to me as a gamer, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Mine was partly time and just there was really only one game I was playing regularly. And I was playing other stuff outside of arcade. I know one of the ones that Michael mentions in the article is Harry Potter Wizards Unite. I did pay $5 in that game once. I've never paid for anything in Pokemon Go. I paid $5 to get enough gold to expand storage in Wizards Unite. That's the only time I ever, like once, and I haven't paid for it since. I generally, like, somehow I'm immune to a lot of in-app stuff. I don't play a whole lot of Angry Birds, but I never paid. I have played a lot of Candy Crush and never paid. Somehow I managed to be immune to some of that stuff. So for me, that hasn't been a big deal. And one of the things I like about playing the Niantic games, Pokemon Go and Wizards Unite, because I do still play both, is that they make me go outside and walk around. That still works on me, so the way in-app purchases don't. So I do still like go outside and explore and like go different places. So, like, I was visiting my family over Christmas and went to some different places or took different routes places because there was something to play in the game along the way if I went that other direction. So I could like let's go this way because then I can spin a stop or battle in a fortress real quick or whatever. So some of that was a little more interesting, at least for me, in places where I normally spend a lot of time, but I spend it in a lot of the same places. So going someplace a little different once in a while is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. So at least for me, that's one of the side benefits of playing games like that. And maybe at some point we will talk more about what happens when you play games on your phone that make you leave the house so you can look at your phone in a new and exciting locale. Maybe we'll talk about that next week when maybe some other stuff is a little bit slower. Another thing that we have to talk about today is just generally sort of, you know, part of this article was apps that are not secure and apps that are careless with people's information, whatever information they get from you. You know, playing a game that wants access to all your contacts, which seems kind of sketchy, you know, things like that. We kind of want to talk about a campaign to make 2020, what'd you call it, Brian? Make 2020 the year of security?
Make 2020 the year of security.
But I thought next year was going to be the year of Linux on the desktop.
LOL Linux. Oops, sorry, send your hate mail to Dave at MacObserver.com.
Who has absolutely nothing to do with this program. He's going to love that.
Whatsoever.
Dave looks forward to your letters. So, Brian, let's talk about this.
Kick my butt.
So, basically, what we mean by this is to... and generally, kind of what we were thinking here is that if you're a person who listens to the show, you're a person who, like me, went to the city of your birth so that you may spend time with your parents and fix all of their computer problems. Because this is what I do. I do the tech support tour, spend a little time making sure everybody's updated. You know, is there firmware for something that maybe needs updated? Updates, things like that, just to make sure that your folks are maintaining. Yeah.
Kelly.
Brian.
The year of security is about having good passwords, using 2FA where you can. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, getting stuff updated and stuff. That's stuff that, that most of, again, the people listening to the show, just as you described, that's stuff that we are, that we're already doing. Now step it up.
Yes.
Help the people that you love not have passwords that suck.
Please.
Long, complex, and unique passwords.
Passphrase, everywhere. I would say.
Where uses you do Kelly's passphrase if that's what you want. Do stuff that is unique. Use password keepers, password managers, whatever it is that it takes to have a unique password everywhere that is long and complex as well. And help people understand the importance of this.
Longer, stronger. I like to say passphrase because if you use more than one word, like a lot of people try to make it like one long word and use a zero instead of an O, but passphrase implies you should use a few words. It's easy to type a few words. Yeah, so, you know, even if they're short, that can help.
Use randomly generated passwords created by one password is my recommendation. Mm-hmm. And stick symbols in there, stick numbers in there, and make them long.
Yes.
And each one being unique. And don't stop trying to remember it. Remember your password for one password.
Yes, the master password. That's why it's called one password. You only have to remember one password. Yeah. I just looked really quick in order to get other people on board with you in this. Both the two most common that I hear about the most are 1Password and LastPass. Both of them are subscription now, but both of them have family plans. So 1Password Families is $5 a month for 5 people if you bill annually. So 5 family members. And then if you have more than 5 people, I think each of them is an additional dollar. And then LastPass, it's $4 a month for 6 users. So $48 a year. And maybe this is the Christmas gift you give your family now, right? Is I'm just going to get you all set up with a password manager, and then you click on this little button and it fills in your password for you and it's fantastic. Now give me the last 3 pages of your address book. We're going to feed them to the shredder now. That because that seems to be where everybody keeps them. And it hurts me that is still a thing that happens. So there's a couple of things that you can do. Both of those are really affordable options, especially when you think about the amount of time that people spend having to change passwords because things get hacked or trying to having think of a good password to set up new, remembering accounts or, you know, going and like having to reset passwords because you get emails about data breaches and on and on and on and on. Look, like
Kelly, turn this on its other end. Mm-hmm. The number of accounts that you have compromised. Mm-hmm. That is what is worth it.
Yes.
The number of accounts that you have compromised is worth a lot more than, what is it, $60 a year or something for like 1Password? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, I hate subscription creep, but this is a product that you should subscribe to. One of them. I prefer 1Password, but you should subscribe to something.
To a password manager. Yes.
Yeah.
And if there are other, like I know that there are others. Those are the two I just hear mentioned most commonly. So those are the two I went and looked for. So this allows you to get other people on board, whether it's your parents, whether it's your spouse or other faithful sidekick. Making sure your kids, making sure that everybody's data is safe is important. And a very easy way to do that is to set up something like this. Everybody's got their own passwords, and then there's ones that can be shared. So if everyone's using the same blog or something, and everybody has their own accounts, like you can share all that information, and and it makes it easy to administer all that stuff. It's pretty straightforward. I mean, it's just a password manager. You click the button and it fills in the password for you. It's pretty great. I personally don't have any experience with using LastPass on iOS. I too am a 1Password user. I know that 1Password works really well on iOS. And at a minimum, if you can't get somebody to sign on to a new thing, at least get them to use iCloud Keychain on the devices that they have, because it came with their device. And it's a very easy thing to use, and it's a very good thing to set up. There's also the really great thing in we've talked about this before, and I don't remember if it came in 12 or 13, where when you get a text message with a secret code, it pops up at the top of your keyboard automatically for you. So it can say, hey, this came from messages. Here's this 9-digit code that you're supposed to enter in here to verify whatever the thing is. That is a very easy thing to do and a very great thing to be able to use, especially on a mobile device. So try that stuff as well. Andrew, do you have any other tips for us besides, like, no, seriously, a password manager is the way?
Besides password managers, I feel like I've also written a lot about VPNs. There are a couple that I'm using right now. One of them is called Private Internet Access, and the other one is called Lockdown Apps. And what these do, they... I like Lockdown Apps because it not only has a VPN, but it also has what they call a firewall. And the firewall, it has... this is what blocks trackers from tracking you all over the web, and they have some pre-built domains in there that you can just click track, and you can also add your own. So I feel like that's a really good app for people.
Yeah, definitely. Brian, anything else we should highlight here?
Yeah, take this stuff seriously, and seriously help the people who look to you for advice. Help them understand, because people don't understand this. Mm-hmm. They do not understand. People reuse passwords all the time. This stuff gets breached. It gets put out on the dark web. It's sold. It's traded. It's given away for free sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's in addition to, you know, people using terrible passwords.
Right.
Like, you know, 1234. That's not a good password.
Yeah. Password with a zero in it is not creative.
It is not.
Please stop doing that.
It was once, I suppose, for about like 4 minutes.
Yeah, when Brian and I were children, that's how long ago it was. It was already a bad idea by the time Andrew was a child. So
just take this stuff seriously, because I mean, it's not just criminals and bad guys that want to get into your stuff. It is, you know, in an increasingly heated world, it is foreign governments, adversarial governments that want to get into your stuff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Take this stuff seriously and help the people that turn to you for advice. Help them understand it too.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that I would point out in this is that I know it sounds intimidating. Just put all your passwords in the password manager, right? Like, that sounds like a load of work, but it doesn't have to happen in an afternoon. It doesn't have to happen in a weekend. It can happen over time. As you log in, generally a password manager will prompt you, hey, do you want to save that? And you just say yes. And then the next time you go there, you don't have to worry about logging in anymore. You just use the button and you log in automatically. And once it saves it, like once it offers to save it for you, if you've got it, then you can go change it to something better. And when you do that, it'll say, do you need to create a new item in your password manager, or do you want to update the one that you already have to this new and improved password? And it's great. It's very easy to do, and it will pick things up over time. And particularly, you know, if you want to do it like on your computer and then just make sure that those passwords are getting updated for your other devices, that's great. There's a lot of very easy ways to do this kind of stuff and have it happen over time. So it's not this like adoption hockey stick. It's much more of a gradual curve, and it makes it much easier to do. And as soon as you spend a little bit of time on those sites where you have to log in all the time and you set those up in your password manager and you just hit that button or that key command, and all of a sudden you're logged in and you know that that password is like 30 or 40 or 50 randomly generated characters and you don't have to type them, it's fantastic. And nobody can get into that anymore. And it's great. And it's one of the great things about it is that it also frees up that mind space of like, what was the password I used here? Was it my cat's name backwards or was it my dog's name backwards? I can't remember. Like, you don't have to do that anymore. You just push the button and you let your computer do the work for you, which is really how it should be. And it makes that stuff a lot easier. So that would be my pitch, is just once you start doing it, you will see how convenient it is. And then it'll sort of turn into a fun project. Like, how much stuff can I jam in here so that I don't have to type this crap anymore? And when you get to that point, everything is so much better. Because I remember that point It was great. It was years ago, but getting there was wonderful. And then you can also search on various parameters. Like once you have all of your existing passwords in there, you can go make sure that none of them are the same. Make sure things are getting updated every so often, that kind of stuff. That makes it really easy to keep everything current, and it makes maintenance of all of those accounts and all of those passwords and all those usernames much easier to parse and much easier to keep on top of, which makes everything safer. I think that probably is going to do it for that today. If there's a password manager that you're using that we have not discussed, I know there are more out there. Like I said, these are the ones we hear about the most. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can leave comments in the show notes, or you can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter. And we definitely are going to talk about this more. We're going, who knows where this will go. But since we've already declared that 2020 is going to be the year of passwords, Brian, not just security, but not security, just passwords. The year of better passwords.
I like the year of security, but, you know, whatever. Just get serious about this stuff.
Have some. We don't care what kind it is. We don't care what flavor. Just get some because it's great and you should have it. You will definitely hear more about that here at TDO, particularly in 2020. But in the meantime, I want to thank both of you for being here. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me and have a good weekend.
And a good weekend to you as well. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Yep, thanks for having us.
Very glad to have you. And I, too, hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.